Iced matcha tea. I fucking dig it. It's freaking sweet, man. Oh, we're listening to Terrestrial Takes, baby.
Here, 2-3 days to talk to organizations, get an idea of their thoughts for him and his thoughts for them, and make a decision. And I think what he's looking for, the teams that fit that criteria, would be Green Bay, Kansas City, Seattle, New Orleans, New England.
Big shout out to Adam Schefter for calling into the show to let us know that Odell has cleared waivers. Claims he wants to play for some sort of contender. You heard the names at the top there. Let me welcome in Tim at Nubs. Where does OBJ end up?
Oh my God. So my friends know I'm a big OBJ fan and I'm a Packer fan. And I saw a news blurb come across that he would like to go to Green Bay. That would be awesome. I would be very in for that. But we have to wonder like what type of level of OBJ we're getting. But also, we've seen a lot of times where he's been open this year and hasn't gotten the ball. So his performance could look a lot better than it has. So I'm kind of optimistic, but as a Packer fan, I'd love to see him in Green Bay. Besides that, you really got to look at which contenders even would want someone like that in their locker room. So I think it gets a little bit iffy there. I know that other people have thrown around like maybe him going to like New England or something like that, but I don't see that as a fit either because of the young quarterback. And I don't really see them wanting to put any sort of agitator when it comes to Mac Jones's development.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors of him going to New England. That's all the news out here in New England is they think that might happen to New Orleans. I think it's Seattle or New England. There's a lot of talk about him being being able to bring him in at your number salary-wise. And so I don't want to see him in New England. I don't think for the same reasons that you said. You have a rookie QB, you don't need that. But yeah, we're off and running on Terrestrial Takes.
It would be fun to see him in New Orleans. I just don't see how they make it work, like just cap-wise.
Yeah, it'd be up to him. It's up to him wherever – how badly he wants to win because he couldn't stand being on a contender in Cleveland. And Cleveland takes on the New England Patriots this week. I guess the other thing is how long does it take to get to for him to, you know, actually sign with somebody? I mean, I don't think it's going to be that quick. It could be over a week or two if he wants to visit a couple teams and then another week or two until he's maybe ready. I'd be surprised, but imagine he goes to New England and plays against Cleveland. Like he's already ready to go. That'd be wild.
Yeah. And there's a lot to learn in that system too. So I wonder how quickly he'd be effective, but you know, he's been a pretty special player in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's that motivated. Past. That is true. And I think we might want to give Eli a little bit more credit to being, you know, helping to elevate Odell as well.
He chucked it up to him. He did what Odell wanted. It was just give him the ball. He chucked it up to him and let him do his thing. So,
and Eli would try to fit the ball in some really tight spaces, especially back end zone, you know, places like that. So
maybe that was the worst thing that happened to Odell. That's what he got used to. I don't care if I'm open, throw me the ball. That's what Eli did. And people are like, dude, he can't do that. I can't just fucking throw it up to you, dude.
Just keep him away from the kicker net. We'll be good.
Yeah, so that's about it for OBJ. I don't really. Well, it's a wait and see thing, but they were talking about keeping him, I thought, but they said no. We're all set. So clears waivers. We'll see where he ends up. Now
I made an OBJ trade this week in one of my leagues.
Oh yeah.
It was Saturday. I traded him for Chark. Got the offer out of the blue. Sent a message in our group chat that said the Lord provides. Gave me a way out, and then today I got an offer: Chark and a third for Freiermuth, and I took that. It's a tight end premium, so it just he has a little bit more value as well. And I I'm interested in having another tight end to play, as I'm a contender in that league. So I definitely don't mind having that extra weapon.
For sure. So we're going to do a little bit of a different format this week. Instead of best worst, we have a different type of main event, but we're still going to do a little recap on a couple of the games that, couple of the bigger games. I mean, we started with Colts smashing the Jets. I love how everyone waited to now. Like, people were making JT their RB1 this week, and I might be calling Rom out, and it's, I think you were just one of many, if I don't take it too personal, but it's just like, we waited for a Thursday night game against the Jets to now anoint Jonathan Taylor. And it's just like, I don't know. It's a weird flex. Like now's the time. Like, yeah, he did very well. I mean, good. I don't even know. We're going to get to that maybe next week, but we're going to get to where we have some people in Dynasty going forward. But yeah, real quick on Jets Colts. What'd you make of this one?
Well, even going back to last year, the Jets were so bad in the trenches on both sides of the ball, which really hurt their cornerbacks last year and really left their Darnold out to dry a lot of the time. And we're kind of seeing that in the run game still for their defensive end, or defensive, on the defensive side of the football, I should say. So I'm not really surprised that Taylor went off, but like, if you're using this matchup to like change any sort of ranking, I think it's a little bit lacking perception or perspective, I should say, excuse me. And I obviously love Jonathan Taylor. I'm from Wisconsin, so I got to see him play for a good amount of time before he was in the NFL. But at the end of the day, like, this should not be something that's changing your perception of him either. Wherever you had him beforehand is probably adequate to where he is now.
Jags take down the Bills. What do you think of that?
Well, I only want to say Josh Allen once, because if I did, we'd be talking about like saying the name a million times. I just don't understand how you can't move the ball at all and can't target Diggs enough to even like put together a legitimate drive the entire football game.
Yeah, my take is go buy Zach Moss. Broncos humiliate the Cowboys in Dallas, 30-16. Cowboys look bad. I still like them going forward, but I might have a take going in our picks this week. What do you got on the Dallas Cowboys game?
Makes me wonder how successful this team can be without a really good running game. I understand that we saw Dak, and I was really expecting a major step forward from Dak, like at least continuing what he did last year, but we didn't get that. And I'm wondering if this team can sustain success without a really dominant running game. And I'm not sure if they're able to have that going forward, or if this was just a blip on the radar and just a bad week versus a good Denver defense, but we'll see going forward. But real quick, go back to that buy Zach Moss thing. I want to hear more about that.
Oh, it's just a quick jab. These are quick hits right now. And everybody's on Zach Moss. Zach Moss is greater than Elijah Mitchell. Zach Moss is a top 15 running back, or 20 running back. Maybe it was 22. Yeah. He's a top 22 running back over Darrell Henderson. Darrell Henderson not worth 23 first. In fact,
he's glaring at me right now, just so you know. He's glaring at me. He offered me a trade this morning that was a pretty large one. And I wanted to keep my flexibility with my picks going forward. And then we got into a discussion about
got into a discussion about
Darrell Henderson's value, and we're determining it's less than a first at this point, which probably isn't the case if you're a contender.
I'm not stuck in my preseason notions where I am the biggest Henderson hater. I think he's playing well. I don't have him super high, but he's absolutely worth a first round pick. I mean, I know you can't go off of every league, but in another league, I mean, this is just ridiculous. I know, but I got somebody sent me unprovoked Josh Jacobs and a first for Darrell Henderson. And I was like, I mean, yeah, okay.
So when did you schedule to fix your phone screen? Was that like the day after?
Dude, I got it. I actually just ordered a phone, and it was a mini 13, and it was way too small, man. And so I have my cracked screen phone. So I mean, I got Jacobs in a first, but at what cost? But let's hit Kansas City, 13-7 against the Jordan Love Packers. Real quick, I know I've been shouting Jordan Love, but if you were listening close, which most of you do, if you're listening to the pod, I was never a big Love guy. I said, I don't know. I was just, I was just saying we ain't seen him yet. And to be honest, I had a long Saturday, didn't sleep, and I fell asleep for the 4 o'clock games pretty much. I heard that Love wasn't great, but yeah, my eyes couldn't tell me that. So what do your Elvin eyes tell you?
Love wasn't great was an understatement. All he had to do was look for Sorensen, and he probably would have had more success just throwing against Sorensen every time. That being said, he's not ready whatsoever.
A tough environment, Kansas City. Like, the defense might not be great, but that's a tough spot to start your career. Come on.
That is a place I definitely want to go see a football game. But that being said, for the amount of time he sat behind and the amount of information and things that he should have soaken up and kind of gotten a little bit more grip on or grasp on. And I don't see anything I want to see out of a guy that's supposed to be leading a team next year because the star quarterback is going to be leaving.
Titans humiliate the Rams on Sunday Night Football. 2 pick-sixes, I think, in a row by Matt Stafford. My MVP pick took a hit this week, but we look forward. I think the Rams are going to be just fine.
That Titans defensive front is becoming very ferocious very quickly.
Or that Rams offensive line is showing their holes. Last night, case too. We had Bears. We finally had the emergence of Justin Fields as he comes back, and the refs decide to decide the game themselves. Steelers take down the Bears 29-27.
That was an embarrassing call, and the NFL backed it today, and I lose a lot more respect for the officials, as we're already doing week by week, because they like to be way too important during primetime games for whatever reason. I don't get it. But even understanding time and place and being like, Cassius, you can't do that. He didn't do anything. He literally did nothing. He didn't even gesture towards the sideline from what I saw. So that is not a place I want the officials coming in and interjecting what they think should be going on in the game based on something that happened post-play that didn't even interact with any other players. And if I remember correctly, he got hip-checked by the referee. The official saw him coming and still backed up.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. I was happy as hell when – I'm not even a Bears fan. I'm a Packers fan, so I root against the Bears. But happy as hell to see Justin Fields drive right down the field afterwards.
Yeah, I'm team less refs in any situation. No need to interject yourself there. Less calls, less power. That's why I'm team no instant replay. Call on the field, baby. They still fuck it up, or the rules are still so
convoluted.
Yeah, there we go. That's the word. That's the $10 word. I the less decisions they have to make, the better. I mean, so I want none of that. Let's kick it to the main event.
It's time for the main event.
All right, this week we are doing top five at each. Why? I can't say this. Top five at each position. Each position. I don't know. It's a lot of tongue. I think I got a lazy tongue going. Top five in each position for the rest of the season. I think we'll do Dynasty next week. But this is the way I did it is from now to week 17 or end of season for fantasy. Are we on the same page there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'm going to just give my list of five. We can talk about them instead of going one by one, because then we have, 40 players. QB5, TB12, QB4, Tannehill, QB3, Dak, QB2, Justin Herbert, and QB1, Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, I know it's a little wild, I think. I have no Mahomes on there, which might be an oversight, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But we roll.
It can definitely be forgiven. It's not like he's played
right
to that level right now.
I mean, Lamar Jackson has a pretty soft schedule coming up. And I just think he's been playing well. I think they continue to run the ball. You have Bateman coming along. Herbert. There we go. His schedule is pretty soft as well. Minnesota. Or wait, we just saw Minnesota too. No, that's
no, they play this week.
Yeah. Pittsburgh. Like I said, I was asleep for the 4 o'clock window. Denver's tough, but Cincy, Giants, Kansas City, Houston, and then Denver championship week. But whatever, we ride, baby. Dak, this one's going to be weird because he's the only Cowboy on this list. So to have him here might sound a little fishy, but I think there's enough mouths to spread the ball around. And he's got to turn it on. However, once we get to my picks, we might have to wait one more week. But Tanny, I like Tanny because I think they have to throw the ball more with Derrick Henry going down and TB12. He's just tearing it up. He's got all the weapons in the world. So that's my five. Anything you hate? Anything you love?
I love the Lamar at one. I am a Lamar guy. So any love he gets, he's proving he can. There's a lot of stuff that he can do that he's obviously shown progression from when he's entered the league, even after winning his MVP. So
even if he hasn't, okay, he still set the best record or best fantasy QB season. Like, even if he doesn't progress, maybe he loses his job, but he ain't losing his job this year. He's going to get extended, even though it sucks for them to probably have to extend him. And like, not because they just having to tie yourself to a guy who makes his living the way he does. It's like, it might be scary to sign him to such a big deal. But anyways, even if he doesn't progress, he's still Lamar Jackson, who can put up crazy fantasy numbers.
That, and if you sign him with a big deal, it really changes the way in which you have to construct your roster. So that's something to look at. But as we've seen, this team, they had 12 guys go to IR. I believe it was like a double-digit number that they had guys go to IR, like basically in the first few weeks of the season and preseason before that. So he's doing a lot of things with a lot of people missing, and he's doing a pretty good job. So,
yeah. And then, yeah, that's my list. I don't know if you had anything else, but otherwise, who do you got for your five quarterbacks?
At number five, I have Dak. The Cowboys' schedule is ridiculous going forward. It is so good for them. It's so soft. So many NFC East opponents. It should be really fun. Then I have Lamar, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and TB12 at number one. Because they are not in a position where they have the bye, Tampa. And I feel like they are going to want to throw the ball a lot and score points to where they can obviously win the game. But I think that that's the way they're going to best be able to do it. And Brady had a down week. And usually after he has a down week, he really explodes the next week. So it should be fun to see him play against Washington. But I feel like he's just going to be almost wire to wire the QB1 this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane what he's doing. Was that three or was that all of them? I'm sorry.
That was all of them. I had Stafford at six. I really wanted to include him, but I was just looking, and I know that this isn't going to work for everything, but his schedule is not the best, and he still has his bye. So I don't want to use the bye argument because there are other players that still have their bye, but just everything together, I just couldn't put him top five.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think he still could win his MVP this year. I think that's still well on the board.
I'd love to put Kyler in, but I just don't know when he's going to play again.
Yeah, it was tough. It's tough to do like a top five. Like when you, like you said, I didn't even think much of the bye weeks, but I mean, that's a huge thing as well. I guess it was more of I ranked him in confidence of who I think will just be the best. Maybe not have the most points, but maybe points per game. I don't know, something like that. What do you got for running back?
Running back, I have Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
Alvin Kamara, because they're going to really have to lean on Kamara if they're going to stay within. They're obviously in the playoffs right now, but stay in that playoff push or that window, because this team isn't complete without a really good quarterback, and they're going to have to rely on him. As well as if Simeon continues to start, I would see more and more Kamara in the passing game, because Simeon is definitely one that wants to get the ball out quick. He can run progressions, but I mean, Deontay Harris is kind of showing some promise. He, in the last couple of weeks, he's really come on. I could see him actually really kind of jumping up and being a flex option on a pretty weekly basis, but I think Kamara is going to be a big deal. Zeke right now I have at three because of the schedule, but we actually don't know how healthy he is. And he didn't look that great against the Broncos. So this could kind of slip down, but I'm going to keep Zeke there because of the schedule. And then Austin Eckler and Nick Chubb.
That's what I wish it was. That's what I came into the year hoping for, some Zeke, Chubb, Eck. JTM with you at the top. So you don't have CMC, Najee. You have them not top five.
They're right there. CMC and Dalvin were my next two. And they could easily move up with Zeke maybe not being healthy and Chubb with the COVID. I just really don't trust Darnold right now. So CMC at 100 yards or over 100 yards this week, total yards, but like it was really quiet and did it really prove to be useful in the game? So if it, I know they're still around 500, but that could easily change where maybe they just shut them down if they become four or five games out of the playoffs. So
I think we both agree JT at number one. So that's nice. I've actually got Najee at two. And I wasn't a big Najee guy. I don't have a single Najee. And this, if I have him, I'm holding him. I'm not going to go and get him right now. I think his value will drop going into next year. I think this is one of those times. I'm not one of those. It's like top value sell, because if you have Najee, you shouldn't sell. You should just ride him out for this year, obviously. But I'm probably trying to sell him next offseason or like this coming offseason. Cause hype is going to be like, it's going to be 1-2 Najee JT. And I just don't think he's that high for me in Dynasty. I don't think he's that close to JT anyways. But anyways, that's two. At three, I have CMC. Like you said, a quiet 100 yards. That's what he does. You can put him at your super flex. You only need one quarterback with CMC. I've got Kamara at four. I agree with what you said, having to run him, have to go through him. I think Kamara's QB proof. I think he's just the best game plan guy-oriented guy, and Peyton uses him. Probably the best utilization of a player in the NFL. And then at five, I've got Mixon. I think that they still ride him. His schedule is rather soft for the most part. And I think we've all thought the talent's there. Hopefully he just stays healthy. But I don't have Eckler in there. I think he's just out. But one guy that I really wanted to put in, and I did it begrudgingly because I didn't, but I wanted to begrudgingly against common perception right now of Javonte Williams. People are just ridiculously high on this kid, or it might just be the hype is so, it is just enormous or something, because people have like on polls taking him over Najee, having him just, I have him at RB13 going into the season in my dynasty ranks. And he's still probably there. I'm about to redo those sometime soon. Maybe I'll make them public, but he hasn't done anything to rise higher than that. So maybe I think I was just higher on him in general. And I've seen mediocre, like okay production, whereas everyone else is just getting blown away or just having PFF grades blown up their butt or something. But that's my top five. What do you think? What do you make?
We differ, but the thing is what we're noticing is that this position actually is really deep up top.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. But I guess like if you don't have at least, you know, one or two of these guys, it's going to be tough to really be in competition in the playoffs. I mean, depending on how deep you are at wide receiver and things like that, a lot of my startups this year, I built around not going after like the big name running backs, just because of sustainability. And I think that a deeper, like five wide receivers is good, because then you can take shots later at running back. But there's definitely a fall off, and I think that's something to recognize. And it's funny because I didn't even have Harris in my top five, but he's in my top five for Dynasty. So that's kind of,
see, I don't know if he's in my top five for Dynasty. I don't think he is. All right, I just want to hit me with your top five wide receivers rest of season.
Cooper Kupp, he looks matchup proof. He's like the Kamara of wide receivers. It's so funny because he runs, half of his routes look like they're tight end routes for how short he runs.
He's around. A lot bigger than I thought. When I like, every time I watch him, I'm like, he's bigger than I always think he's gonna be.
But yeah, half of his routes are quick things inside the slot or off the tackle, and they might be 7 yard turnarounds or something a little bit deeper. Obviously, he might continue to move, but he gets a lot of these easy targets that he can easily turn into 10 points, and that's not even the majority then of like his other work, where if he's taking something a little bit deeper or up the seam or whatever, you know, that's an extra 4 or 5 points on just that one play alone. So it's almost like his floor is like 12 to 14 points minimum on an easy day, not including touchdowns. So it's hard for me to take a guy that is scoring that many points basically as a floor away from the number one spot. And then I have Davante Adams, number two. That's really going to hinge on Rodgers, but if this team's going to win, this team's going to, you know, fight for the bye and all this other stuff, he's going to need to be a really big piece of this offense. Then I have Chris Godwin. I was big on Godwin coming into the season, and I really think that Brady is going to lean on him just because he gets open so much across the middle and up the seams that, like, it just creates free yardage, and it's something that seems to be repeatable. And depending on Gronk's health, that could be even more of a factor going to Godwin in the middle of the field. Then I have Diggs, because I think the Bills, to find success, really need to target Diggs more than they have. And I was big on not taking Diggs this year because I thought that he had such a perfect season last year. There's no way they could replicate it. And he could perform at the level he did last year, but we still know he's talented. We still know he can do things with a big target share. So I really do believe that for them to find continued and repeatable success, they have to target Diggs more. And then at number five, I have DK, because with Wilson coming back, they're a little bit, you know, behind in terms of the standings, and they're really going to have to put the pedal to the metal.
Do you think this is the year that Russ ends hot instead of cooling down at the end?
Maybe there's been a lot of seasons where, if you look back, when they have to come back in the standings, that he gets hot later in the year. And this could be one of those years as well. And it's usually like you said, he's either one or the other. And this might be the year in which he's really hot at the end.
Yeah. Nothing too wild. I've got three guys in my top five that you omitted from yours. And a couple guys that neither of us have that were tough for me. I wanted to put F1 Terry McLaurin in here. I wanted to, and I think he could easily. He's probably at six for me. Chase, that's just me wanting it, but I mean, it could happen. I mean, he's generational, man. We throw the G word around with Chase, but we also didn't put Justin Jefferson in. Interesting to me. Also, DJ Moore. I mean, this is such a tough position to pick the top, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go in reverse order because I just named those guys at five. I've got Keenan Allen. Like I said, I didn't watch the 4 o'clock games. So I want to go back and watch that game in particular because people thought that we didn't record last week. Apologies. But when in the Patriots game, people were saying, you know, Justin Herbert struggled. They played zone and Justin Herbert can't play against zone. Now people are going to play zone against them. So I don't know what Philly did. I wanted to go back and see if they played zone and how it worked out.
Philly is very zone oriented, and Keenan got beat up a lot when he would catch the ball.
See, but he did work this week, if I'm not mistaken. That was what I was going to say going forward, is if they play zone, they've been playing man against them. So Mike Williams is going to eat. You play zone, Keenan's going to shred you apart with paper cuts. And so I thought, I have him at five. I think he's going to be right around there. Four, I've got Davante Adams, same process as you. I've got Kupp at three, actually. I think he falls off a little bit. But something that was interesting to me is you're saying that Kupp is, you know, coming off the tackle. They look like tight end routes. I don't have the yards per target up ahead of me. I just have targets in their yards. But, I mean, Cooper Kupp's got 1,000 on 100 targets, 1,000 yards on 100 targets. Tyreek Hill has the same amount of targets and 770 yards. So, I mean, that's like, what, 20%? More yards on the same targets. So he's got that's just interesting to me. I don't have the yak up on me. I should learn how to use Spaceman's database. I always try and learn like right before I start podcasting. I'm like, I need to actually sit down and figure this out. At two, I've got AJ Brown. I think Tanny gets hot, and AJ Brown's been posting like the highest target share numbers of his career. So, and he's been eating, he's been doing work with that ball, and I think he tears it up going forward. And I've got my man Tyreek at one. He's, you know, he's behind Cooper Kupp by a sizable margin, and I don't think Kupp completely falls off. I think these guys just kind of take off a little bit more. I mean, what Cooper Kupp's doing isn't exactly unsustainable. Like, his target share number I think is around 30, which is you know, exorbitant, but we just saw the same thing with Davante Adams last year. So that's what I've got.
Very different list from running back and wide receiver.
Yeah.
But once again, it just shows the depth at the position, because there's not a single person you made a, you put on your list or made an argument for that I couldn't see as a possible outcome.
It's tough. I mean, it's tough to do at the top. I mean, there's so many people that are being left out. I mean, out of my top five, like, I've got three of the current top five in my top five to finish the year. I'm missing Chase and Deebo Samuel.
Deebo's got a good schedule as well, but once again, is Jimmy G going to keep the job? Kind of looks like it. Jimmy G might be someone to trade for if you can get him cheap, just based on we don't know how these quarterbacks are going to play into next year, and he may find a position where he gets to start a little bit.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've grabbed quite a bit of Jimmy G this offseason because he could be had for like a mid-second or even a future second. I think I traded him with you for a 22 second. Let me look that up. Jimmy G. History. It was Jimmy and a 22 fourth for a 22 second. Look at that.
You taxed me. You
taxed, I taxed
me
for the shit out of you.
Honestly, I actually been thinking about that with some deals I've been making. Is that I want to start I should have already been practicing this, but I want to start really collecting more later round picks because
yep.
It just gives you more dart throws, as well as the value if someone finds somebody that they think drops, you might be able to move it for even more. So yeah, well, it's definitely also something I've been looking at. What's up?
The later the picks, the greater they are, like the chance of ROI, I guess. If all you ROI heads are out there, like if you trade, you know, Trevor Lawrence for two firsts, like you still use the first, but you pick up like an Elijah Mitchell and you trade him for like a stud RB like Zach Moss, and then your ROI is through the roof. So,
man, this is a trolley episode.
this is what we do. Sorry, D-Row, I love you, baby.
Hell yeah.
We're on. He's my happy Harry Potter. Happy Potter co-manager. All right.
Speaking of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Slytherin House had a nice sweep this week of Ravenclaw. We pulled out the Nimbus 2000 and used the broom end.
I'm in too many leagues. I just look at I look at the if I got the trophy on my score line or not. And it's been pretty good for the most part this year. I get quite a bit of trophies. Let's get through the tight ends. People say get rid of kickers, man. I'm almost ready to just get rid of tight ends. People say do two tight ends. Like, I think that's even worse. I don't want two tight ends. Like, what the fuck? No, if I get two of them, you win the league if you get two top tight ends. Like, I know you can say that about other positions, but I think it's just even more so true with tight end. But I'm pretty bare bones, or not bare bones, basic consensus, I guess. Kelce won. I got Andrews too. I think he holds there with Al Jacks. Waller 3, Mike Gesicki at 4, and I got Hawk at 5.
I have some of the same guys, obviously. And I think we're sharing a lot of the same ranks. But I can't leave Andrews out of my top 5. So what's your reasoning for not including Andrews?
Andrews is my 2, baby.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Which one did you read them again? Because
Kelce, Andrews, Waller, Gesicki, Hawkinson.
Oh, it's Pitts. Sorry.
Oh, I did Pitts. I just admitted him.
Sorry. I assumed you said Pitts and I was reading the list as I was going down.
Yeah, no, it's right for you to assume Pitts. One or two for Pitts. Yeah. So Andrews is at 3. And Hawkinson and Mike G are fighting for the 5th spot.
There you go. I got a couple honorable mentions in this, but you want me to go up or down on this one?
Way you want.
All right, let's go down. So I have Kelce at 1.
Go down.
I just think that with Mahomes at my number 2 rank, he obviously is going to throw to Kelce, Hill, you know, all that stuff, but they're going to need it for them to really make a playoff push. And it was funny because all of us going in this year are like, oh, we're not going to have these guys the last like 2 weeks of the season because they're just going to already be locked into the bye. Like they're not even close. Right. So I think we're going to get some good football down the stretch. And then I had Waller just because I still think going into the season, I really thought he was going to be the number one tight end because of the target share. But it really hasn't been consistent as much as we'd like. Yeah, there's been a lot of forced targets, but they haven't been all good targets. And I think that makes it difficult because then it's basically like a 0-yard run on second down. Because if the defense is really keying on it and you just really don't have a chance to complete this ball, you're really wasting it down. And I think we've been seeing that. And that's kind of one of the reasons why in certain games they struggle. The Raiders do. Their defense plays really well. But then there's sometimes their offense just really sputters and can't score. So that's something to consider. I had Pitts at 3, Gesicki at 4. I just think that for rest of the season, he's just been performing too well that it's really going to be hard to argue to take him out of your lineup. And then Andrews at 5. But then the honorable mentions I had, because I feel like they can be acquired at a decent price, are Tyler Conklin and then Evan Ingram. And I sent out a bunch of offers last week before our pod to try to get some done before we recorded and then it got out. But I couldn't get any deals completed because they wanted seconds plus, and I just don't feel comfortable paying for most tight ends, paying a second or more, where I'd rather just pay up for one of the top 5 if I could. But Engram's got a really good schedule. And then we've seen Conklin is very consistent most weeks. And I thought that Vikings offense was going to kind of slow down. But with that being said, there's still going to be opportunities underneath for Conklin to really either beat up on zone or some sort of linebacker on him. And he's, you know, consistently been able to put up close to 10 every week. So.
Yeah. Conklin's a little wild. That'd be one hell of a call. That'd be a terrestrial call, perhaps.
Ooh, should I make that my take?
It's too late, baby. So that's our top 5 at each position. Let us know how much you hate it at Duchesne's _ or at Nubs NNBB. And with that, let us get to our week 10 picks. I did have picks for week 9. We didn't record. So I didn't tweet them out either. But if you want to, I just tracked all my bets in the Action Network app. So if you're on the Action Network app or something, I think I'm just Alexander Deschanes or something. That ROI is sitting pretty at 20%, baby. But all my bets go in there too as well. And I'm sitting with 3 right now. So let's just get to that. Week 10, I've got Thursday Night Football, Baltimore covering 7.5 at Miami. I like this one a lot. Give me like 3 units, possibly 5. We'll see how it shapes up. But Miami's dreadful, and that run D's terrible. I don't know what that line is. What, because they're coming off a tough win or something? They think Miami plays them tough? I mean, it's totally possible, but... If so, if Baltimore sucks, then everything I just said sucks, and I'm a terrible analyst. But we all know that. I've also got Atlanta +9 at Dallas, so I like Dallas the rest of the year. I've got Dak in the top 3 quarterbacks for the rest of the year. But they just got smoked at home, embarrassed, and I don't think that they come out and just tear Atlanta apart. Atlanta's been getting no respect, and they've been playing people tough. I don't know what they are against the spread this year, but I rode them last year to a money line win. And I'll take them with 9 points this week. And then the last one I got is Rams covering 4 at San Francisco. I got all 3 road teams. Rams got disemboweled. I meant to just say disrespected, but that's even better. It's pretty vicious. I think that's Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. So back-to-back primetime games. And those are my 3 picks. So fade or follow, baby.
I actually shared with the Rams, so I'm going to move to a different one as well. But the one I feel most confident in, I'm taking the Titans -2.5 against the Saints. It's at home, and I don't really see the Saints playing the same way on the road as they do at home. The defense is good, but I could see it being a little difficult for the offense to do some work, especially if that Titans front continues to play how they did last week against the Rams.
Yeah.
Next one I had was Browns Pats. I'm going under the 45 and a half total. I really see this as a game in which the Patriots defense really schemes well against the Browns. And if they are without Chubb, I could see a really tough day for Baker. And we don't even know how windy it's going to be in New England yet. So
you have them covering?
No, I have the what I have is the game total. They're going under on the game total. So I could see this being like a 17 to 10 or 20 to 13 or 20 to 17 game. And I'm hitting that under. And then the last one I'm going to do is I'm going to do Packers plus 3.5 or minus 3.5 at home versus Seattle. Seattle doesn't play well in Green Bay. There was a game Wilson had 5 interceptions.
Did he win though?
No, they did not win. So as if Rodgers plays, I feel like this is nearly a lock to be better than 3.5 on Seattle. So I'm going to go that way.
See, I was going to take Green Bay. But then I had two more picks, but I'm only going with those three because I would have had 5 road teams. I like Cleveland. I like Cleveland money line at New England. That line is trappy because I think it should be much bigger. I think New England's getting too much respect again. Cleveland is the better team. We don't know how windy it'll be, and we know how much that affects Baker. We don't know what's up with their running back. So that's a line that I'm going to eye going forward. I want to see what it gets up to because it's not that high right now. And I wanted to take Green Bay, but I don't know. I think Seattle plays Green Bay pretty tough. I don't know what – I remember the 5 interception game, but I guess the ones where Wilson came back stick out more. But those were playoff games. But wasn't the 5 interception – no, that wasn't the playoff game.
No. I'll say this. I'm not superstitious whatsoever, but I don't like betting on teams I root for. I just don't.
Oh, I love it. I love betting against them.
Because I feel like it just always gets me, or it's always something that maybe they win and they don't cover or whatever. So I kind of usually steer clear of teams that I root for, but this is one I feel pretty confident in, especially if Packers defense can play like they did both against Kansas City and against the Cardinals as well.
Well, there you have it. Let's win some money. I've got to buy Microsoft 365, I guess, because I can't use Excel anymore. And Excel is where I got all my algorithms and shit. I don't know how to use Sheets. I just copy and paste into Sheets. Maybe that'll be my gripe. And while we're there, that's my gripe of the week. Google Sheets. It's the one that's easier to share. I can throw it in my link tree, but everything is easier in Excel. You got a gripe of the week?
Not this week.
Nice. You'd love to see it. Highlight. I got a new computer, so we'll be streaming more. Should be smoother, and I can stream better games. I thought I had another highlight, though. I climbed was last week. Yeah, new PC. That'll do.
I got a buddy who graduated law school. He went to Tennessee, and he's going to be moving down with me for a little bit while he gets his legs under him in Texas. So he's going to be down here next Tuesday or Wednesday.
Nice.
So we'll be getting him situated. And then I'm basically, because I work a lot. So I've had a little bit of time this weekend to really get the house in order. And it sounds like next weekend I'm going to be going shopping for my pool table. So I'm excited.
Nice. My other highlight, matcha tea, dude. Iced matcha tea. I fucking dig it. It's freaking sweet, man. Oh, we're listening to Terrestrial Takes, baby. That's the sickest intro in the pod.
Please make that the intro. Please make that whole sequence the intro.
Easy.
You're listening to Terrestrial Takes, baby.
That's me looking for the I was looking for reviews. We still have no reviews, so maybe leave us one if you thought that we're goons for keeping that in the pod. Anything else for the people?
Do you have any Terrestrial Takes of the week?
Insert
noise. Da-da-da-da.
Damn, I could have done it at any time on any of those trolls. No, I've done enough damage. I think that's it. Thanks for listening. We will do our best to be back next week. I'm a very busy man. I know we're all busy. I know it's not much of an excuse, but that's it. What can I say? I got hobbies. This isn't the only one. I love you. Thanks for listening.